Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. All right, it's our month of growth. And we have been learning about three types of men in the Word of God. Do you remember? From 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 to chapter 3 verse 4. Three types of men. The first one, the natural man. Let's look at it. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's the first type of man, the natural man. He can't receive the things of God's Spirit. They are foolishness. And then Jesus talked about the world when he sent the Holy Ghost, that they will not receive him because they cannot see him. The natural man is that man that is not born again. Everything about God's Spirit sounds foolish. Why must we go to church? Can't be watching football. Praise the Lord. What do you mean if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover? Is your hand tablet? You know, you're always asking questions. They think the things we are doing is foolish. That's because they are natural. They are earthly. You only judge things with natural standards. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's a natural man. Go to verse 15. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That's the second man, the spiritual man. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's the third man, the carnal man. He's not an unbeliever. He's in Christ, but he's a baby. When you get born again, you're a newborn, but you're a child. God expects you to grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. Just like you expect a physical child to grow up, God expects every Christian to grow up. Grow in your knowledge of God's word. Know what's in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So three types of men. The natural man who is not born again. That one needs to be born again. The carnal man who is a baby. He's carnal. And the truth is, he's almost not different from an unbeliever in the way he responds, in the way he talks, in his character. You can have Christians who lie. Praise the Lord. Why? Because they are babies. Have you ever seen a baby before walking like a dog? It's creeping, right? It's creeping, walking like an animal. But one day, he would have to grow up and walk like a man. Praise the Lord. So even though he's creeping, he's still a man. He's still a person. He's not a dog. But when he grows up, you will tell the difference. Same thing with a baby in Christ. When he's a baby, he's like an unbeliever. But when he grows up, you tell the difference that this is a child of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we found out that of these three people, God wants you to be spiritual. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, very popular, it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected. And let's go there. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Let's read together. I want to go. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Stop. Say, God is thinking of me. Isn't that wonderful? He's thinking of you. Let's continue. Say the Lord, thoughts of peace to give you an expected end. He's not thinking of the sin you did or something, the lie you told. Think about it. He says, I'm thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There's a future he wants you to walk in. That's what he's thinking about. Thoughts of peace. And the truth is, if you're born again, that's good. You've started level one. But the truth is, only the spiritual man can enjoy the benefits of God's thoughts. Go to Romans 8, verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. So we said during our study that being carnal is not an option. You can say, I was not a believer. I got born again. Let me be carnal small. Then I'll be spiritual. It's not an option. He says, to be carnally minded is death. That means when unbelievers are dying, you will die too, even though you're a Christian. Not you. Even unbelievers are suffering to happen to you too, even though you're a Christian. Why? Because you're carnal. He says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. God said, the thoughts I think towards you are thoughts of peace. So who is the person fulfilling the will of God? The spiritual man. He says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So only the man that is spiritual will walk in the fullness of what God wants for him. Praise the Lord. God wants you to be spiritual. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be spiritual. And being spiritual is really simple. You're a spirit being. Jesus said, he that is born of flesh is flesh. And he that is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When you were born in this world the first time, it was your father, your earthly father. You were like flesh. But when you're born again, you're born of God. The spirit, praise the Lord. That's what Jesus said in John 4. So now your spirit, and he expects you to be spiritual so you enjoy life, growth, and peace. Praise the Lord. And one other thing we'll learn, let me just quickly end with that. The spiritual man, go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. I'm giving you guys lots of verses. This is the time to write. Some people are not writing. Alright. Well, you can listen to the message later on. 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The man who is spiritual doesn't just accept anything. There are Christians like that. They accept anything that comes to them. Is it my will to die? I will die. Whatever God wants will happen, will happen. And we know that's not true. Because there is a devil. We learned that last week, didn't we? There's a devil out to get you. So even if God wants something for your life, there's an opposing force. You are the one to insist on God's word in your life. He says the spiritual man judges all things. How? With the word of God. In John 7 verse 24, Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. Judge by God's word. What does that mean? When a man is spiritual, that means a Christian who has grown, he doesn't just accept anything. There are some words he will refuse to hear. Do you know the way you know? Have you ever eaten something bitter before? It smelled so good. Just deceived everybody. You ate it and it was terrible. Praise the Lord. When you tasted it, I think your first reaction would be to put it out. Are you in this place? Or you kept food inside the fridge, bread, and it's dark. You open it, you eat the bread, and it's poured. What do you do? Spit it out. The way you taste food, and when it's not good, you throw it away. That's exactly the way God expects you to judge words. Go to Job 12, verse 11. Book of Job, chapter 12, verse 11. He says, doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? The way you eat food, you taste it. Is this good or not? If it's not good, if it's too salty, if it's too peppery, you put it away. It's the same way God wants you to judge words. The words you hear. Let me tell you why. Because everything you hear, the word is a seed. Any word you hear entered into your spirit. Let me tell you, at times, you could be in the bus and they're discussing. And it does not concern you. But that information will follow you home. What am I talking about? And maybe weeks later, months later, years later, you can even recall it and say, hey, I remember they were saying something like that in the bus. But it did not concern you. If it was left to you, you won't hear it. But words are seeds. It entered your heart, it followed you home, and it's working in your life. So it says, doth not the ear try words? Your ears should try words. Are these words good enough? Because the quality of your life is based on the quality of the words that you hear. Are you in this place? Are these words good enough? Are they pure enough? Are they holy enough? Don't say nobody holy pass. Only the holy will see God. If you confess that, you're going to hell. The Bible says you were bought with a price. You should walk in sanctification. So you try, we say the spiritual man judges all things. It's not all songs that you listen to. The guy listens to a song. Now he doesn't know why he's lusting after a girl. But the song was filled with lust. What did you expect? Garbage in, garbage out. Are you in this place? You don't just wake up with desires. You must have heard something. So you judge it. At times, even so-called Christian songs, they are unspiritual. They don't help you. For example, look at you. You have been doing well spiritually. You've been praying every day. You've been reading your Bible every day, 7 days a week. Then you play a song that says, even when I fall, even when I fail, even when I'm not good enough for you, you help me. When? What are you trying to say? You have been doing well. Now with your own mouth, you confess that a time would come you will fall. It sounds nice. It captures your emotion, but it will lead you to darkness.
He says, the spiritual man judges all things. Are you in this place? You judge, is this good enough? You judge the situation. One of the things we also learn is that the spiritual man proves the will of God for his life. When you read the Bible, realize that there are many things God is not supposed to do. You're the one supposed to do it. He says, you prove the will. Let's look at it. Romans 12, verse 2. No, someone can say, is this God's will for me? No, when you're spiritual, I expect you to prove it. You're the one that will prove this is God's will or this is not God's will. Your child is sick of a fever. You don't say, is it the will of God that she will die today? Maybe it's the will of God. Leave her or let her be shaking. Let's not oppose God. Is that smart? Even the natural man self will be complaining. You're the one to prove, is this what God wants? Does God want this sickness in my body? Does he want me to die? Does he want me to fail? What has his word said? Look at it. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. That is so beautiful. He says there are different stages of God's will. There's a will that is good. Are you in this place? It's good. He wants all men to be saved. That's a good will of God. It's general. There's one that is acceptable. You go a bit further. Then there's one that is perfect. He says you're the one that would prove it. And we learned in Jesus' life. In Mark 4, the Bible says he was in the boat. And the boat, you understand, you know the story. The wind was boisterous. It was about to sink. Remember, God sent him to die. He knew. If there's anything Jesus knew, it was that he came to die. He says, for God so loved the world, that he gave the only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He knew he was coming to die. Now he's in that boat. The boat is about to sink. He could have said, this is the time for me to die. Death is death. It doesn't matter how it comes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As people that say, I cannot enter plane. What if it crash? What if it crash? And someone says, if you go die, you go die. Death is death. He could have said that. I said, maybe this is the time for me to die. My disciples, sorry you are here, but die with me. But that's not what he did. He proved that it was not God's will for him to die at that moment. And he said, peace, be still. All right. John 18, they come to arrest him. Are you in this place? It's time for them to take him and kill him. And guess what? They ask him. He asked them, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am the one. They all fell down. What does that mean? The will of God is for him to escape. If police came to arrest him for doing nothing wrong, and they say, who are you looking for? You say, who are you looking for? They say, labor. He says, it's me. They all fall down. He says, ah, my God is working. Tie them. Take the handcuff and handcuff them. You just hold them captive. But is that what Jesus did? No. The Bible says he waited for them to stand up. Why? Because he judged it was time. When they stood up, guess what? Peter caught somebody's ear, ready to fight. He could have said, yes, even if you stand up, my disciples kill them. No. He said, if you want me, let these ones go. He was the one who commanded his own arrest. He proved the will of God part-time for his life. When you're spiritual, God expects you to be that way. You know God expects you to walk as Jesus walked, live the life he lived, give the judgment he gave. Praise the Lord. Yes, he does. It's in 1 John 2, verse 6. Okay, let's look at it. He says, he that said he abided in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. The way he lived his life is how he expects you to live your life. And one of the things you learn is that God can tolerate being a Christian, a baby Christian for a while. He can help you. But the time comes, he expects you to grow and take care of things. Are you in this place? When a baby is born, pay attention, this is so important, but go to 1 John 2, verse 12, because I'm going there. When a baby is born, you put the baby in the room, don't they? And they do everything for that baby. They clean the room, they wash the clothes, they wash the plate, maybe wake up 2 a.m. to terrorize everybody with tears. They cry. You see a grown man dancing, looking like a fool for a baby. Are you in this place? Because a baby. When that baby grows up to be 15, will they be cleaning the room? Those are not serious parents. In fact, the baby will not only arrange his own affairs, but will be expected to take care of the father's affairs. So when you're a child, there are people when they got born again, the first 1 year, 2 years, it was so sweet. Oh God, the sun is hot. Someone will just come with cab. Are you going my way? You see, this Christianity is real. It's real. As I thought, God is answering. Praise the Lord. And that is nice. But a time would come, God expects you to grow. Like Jesus when he was a baby. Herod wanted to kill him. It was God who appeared to Joseph and said, take this child away from this place.
Jesus was a baby. He didn't get up. Wait, Mary.
Something's about to happen. You see a small baby running. I'm running to Egypt. Follow me. Is that what happened?
No. Why? Because he was a baby. But when he entered that boat in Mark 4, God didn't even tell him there would be an accident. Why? Because he has grown up. Praise the Lord. So the natural cannot believe I should get born again. The carnal man is a Christian, but he's a baby and he refused to grow. And being a carnal person is not about the number of years you've been in Christ. How long have you been born again? 3 years. You're still a baby. No. It's about how much you have led the word of God. You have submitted to the word of God. How much of the word of God you know and do. It's one thing to know the word of God. It's another thing to do the word of God. That's how you become spiritual. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God wants you to be spiritual. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be spiritual. Yes, and that happens. Do you know? It's not even complicated. All you have to do is to sit down one day and read your Bible. From anywhere, you can learn spiritually. Just sit down and read. So I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes each day to the Word of God. And you're spiritual. You're growing. Why? Because you'll be learning the Word of God and you'll be doing the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so that's Apostle Paul telling us three types of men. Apostle John had his own three types of men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's quickly look at the three of them. We'll study one of them, and then next week we'll continue with the rest. 1 John 2 verse 12. Can you see this? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's read it. I'll read it. It says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. All right? Verse 13. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Did you notice three types of men there? Three stages of growth. Number one is what? I want smart people to answer. Number one is what? Little children. Number two is what? Fathers. Number three is what? Young men, but all of them are Christians. And it's just typical. When you're born into this world, you grow, don't you? You're a little baby, then you become an adolescent, a teenager, an adult, an old man. So now he's saying, I'm writing to three types of people. Little children. Of course, they were not his physical children. But can't be writing to five. How many fathers does he have? You understand? So spiritually now. He says, I'm writing to little children. I'm like writing to fathers. I'm writing to young men. Different stages of growth. Now, when we see what he told them, you can locate yourself and know how to advance spiritually. Praise the Lord. For Paul, he talked about the unbeliever, the babe in Christ, and the spiritual man. But for John, he's looking at just Christians, and he's saying, yeah, Christians, they are little children. Not born again, still learning something. They are young men, praise the Lord. And then they are fathers. All right, so let's look at what he said now. Today we'll look at just children, okay? And then we'll look at fathers later. Now, interestingly, just for your information, just to get it, when he said children, talking about babies, the Greek word is technon, and young children, you know, 13 years old, padion, so that's little children. Then for young men, he's talking about people who are no longer teenagers, but they are less than 40. And then for fathers, those that are over 40. Of course, talking spiritually, so just to get the idea, praise the Lord. Hallelujah! See, I'm learning something. My life is improving. Oh, yes, it is. All right, go back to verse 12. Let's see what he tells the little children. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, it's interesting. First thing he tells the children, talk about sin. Go to verse 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, two places he's mentioning children, he's talking about sin. Why? Do you remember? Because the child in Christ, the babe in Christ is what? Carnal. And because he's carnal, he'll live the life of an unbeliever. He would have issues with sin. Are you in this place? So he says, My little children, these things write I unto you. That is amazing. That is amazing. You should have said, my little children, I give you tablet. When you drink it, you will not sin. So we know there's a special tablet. Anytime you drink it, you will not sin. But look at his antidote to walking in sin. Look at his solution to ensure you walk in righteousness. He says, these things write I unto you. The word. Are you seeing that? If you spend time with the word, when you wrote it to them, what did you expect them to do? Read it. Are you seeing it? Read it and submit to it. So it says, these things write unto you that ye sin not. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart, so I will not sin against you. So the antidote for a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're still struggling with issues, your association is the problem. Who are you associating with? What information are you associating with? He says, if you spend time with God's word, and look at it, that you sin not. So it is possible in life to sin not. Sin is not anybody's inheritance. Are you in this place? Everybody must sin. No. Then why did Jesus come? You know, at times you have to ask yourself intelligent spiritual questions. People were sinning before Jesus came, were they not? They were begging for forgiveness. They were killing themselves. They were dying. They were lying. Jesus then came and died for that same sin. And then you want me to believe that it is possible not to sin? Not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course not. He says, these things write unto you that ye sin not. But it's children that have issues with sin because they are carnal. You see, they spend time listening to the wrong things. Remember what he says? He says, to be carnally minded is death. He says, the one that is carnal minds the things of the flesh. He's a Christian, but has no time to study his Bible, but has all the time to spend on the internet, on TikTok. He's a Christian, but has never listened to a video message, but listens to songs that he doesn't like, watches football, do all the things that are unprofitable, praise the Lord. You see, he's thinking about carnal things. And so you have problems of the world. But the spiritual man, praise the Lord, the one who is spiritual minds the things of the Spirit. Let's look at something. Go to Romans 8, verse 7. And you have to love the word of God. It doesn't just tell you, it doesn't just show you yourself if you're struggling with sin. It doesn't just say you're a child. He's telling you there's something you can do to live above it. Romans 8, verse 7. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He said, the guy who is a baby in Christ, who is carnal, are you in this place? You know, I remember someone used to say something, a funny thought, that there are different types of Christians with different grace. Some Christians, their grace is to praise. They like to praise God. So every praise night, they are there dancing, dancing, dancing. They will give God their praise. What did I go give to you, my praise? Someone that is prayer. They don't praise. Those ones cannot dance. They only pray, 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 pray. Someone that is just listening to the word. What a beautiful way to avoid responsibility. God expects you to abound in everything. That's what Paul said in our devotional for this week. He expects you to abound, make progress in everything. When it's time to praise God, praise Him because He's so good to you. When it's time to pray, pray because your fellowship with the one that is greater than all. When it's time to listen to the word, listen because you want your life to change. Are you in this place? You should be complete in all ramifications. So you have that guy who will say, you know, I don't like going to vigil, but when he's praising and call me, I'll be there. You see, both are important. Don't be carnal that you choose the one you can do, the one you cannot do. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is inside of you, you can do all things. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The man who is carnal, always listening to, you know, oh boy. Let me tell you two descriptions in the Word of God that is very interesting. And pay attention to me. You know, in church, some people just distract themselves. Either they are writing on the table, or they are picking their nails, or they are scratching their head, or they are looking at the ceiling, or they are counting the number of colors in this place. Come back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus told a particular church something. He said they had not known the depths of Satan. And then when you study the Word of God, you hear about the depths of hell. What does that mean? There are Christians, they are born again. Alright? They are born again. But all the dirty things in the world they know. The recent dirty thing that just came forth 2 weeks ago, they know. The slang that is dirty. Are you in this place? The useless jokes, they know. But they're Christians. They are carnal. They cannot please God with that life. And if all you are receiving into your spirit are worldly, dirty, filthy things, you live a filthy life, even though you're a Christian. So he's telling them, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Go to 1 John 2, this one. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, if sinning has become conditional, it's not a must. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you make a mistake, if you did something wrong, yes, Jesus is right there. He's your advocate. Are you in this place? And he's advocate with the Father. But he's saying it is possible to live the righteous life. It is possible. Go to verse 28. John 2 verse 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in him. Who is him? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Word of God. Remain in the Word of God. Don't be tricking your head to know the latest. No, I want to know the latest that is happening in this world so I'll be relevant. No. It is the Word of God that gives you relevance. Are you in this place? He says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Who will be ashamed? The child. The baby in Christ. Why? Because he has been living like an unbeliever. They're the ones that if you say Jesus is coming soon, hey, let him not come now. I still have things to correct. You see, they're ashamed. They're the ones that don't want him to come. Why? Because they are babes in Christ. They are doing the wrong things. Praise the Lord. But God expects you to listen. You cannot continue that life. 10 years a Christian, still like an unbeliever, there has to be a change. There's a problem. You should grow. Praise the Lord. You should make progress. See, I'm making progress. Galatians 5 verse 17, quickly. 5 verse 17. It's for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He's saying the guy who is carnal, everything you're consuming that is not the word of God, came to fight the word of God. Listen to this. This is so important. This is so important. There is no middle ground in this world. If you spend a lot of time with the world, you will forget that Satan exists. Some people live their life like there is no devil, there is no hell. How come? We know there is devil. Even the people that forget, people die. They forget they are going to leave this world one day. If one thing that is certain for everybody in this world is that you leave this world one day, you think that's number one thing everybody will be thinking about. I don't remember. Why? Because Satan does a good job in distracting them. Praise the Lord. He's saying whatever you receive that is not from God's word came to fight God's word in your life. Came to ensure you don't remember God's word. Came to steal God's word from you. That's what Jesus said in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. He said the sower sows the word. For the ones that don't understand it, Satan comes and steals the word from their life. How does Satan come? Praise the Lord. Don't sleep. Pay attention to this. After you're done with service and you have listened to the word, when you go outside, does Satan come and say, hey, Dr. Eddie, congratulations, my name is Devil. I want to take the word from your hand. If that happened, you say, get it behind me, Satan. Are you in this place? In fact, we put an usher there to capture Satan and say, we have finally captured him. That's not what it happens. Just like God comes to you through his words, Satan also comes to you through words. Remember, it was Peter. Peter said, this shall not happen to you in Matthew 16. It was his words. And Jesus said, get it behind me, Satan. Satan was not there in flesh. It was his words that provoked Jesus. Are you in this place? So when you listen to the word of God, Satan immediately brings his own words that you would hear in songs, in gossip, in different things to ensure that the word of God that you have heard does not produce results in your life. But say, not me. So he says, hey, he's writing to the children that you don't sin. If you've been struggling with sin, then change your association. You know, I know there's some of you that you can't help it. You're in a bus, they're singing worldly songs. What can you do? Get an earpiece. Be deliberate about your growth. Are you in this place? Don't say, if God wants you to grow, I will grow. Is that how it happened in real life? Your parents just gave birth to you, then they dump you somewhere. If God wants them to grow, they will grow. Would they not arrest those parents? You, if you grow up, self, you go and arrest them. Because they should do something about it. Are you in this place? Get an earpiece. You have friends that every time you come back from church, they come. You know, Satan sends his ministers. Anytime you're done with church, you're seeing from ministers of God. You have friends that will come with their own gist of the world. You have to be deliberate about your growth. It has to stop. Are you in this place?
This has to stop. This thing we are doing, it has ended. That's how you grow. You are deliberate about it. So little children have issues with sin. But God doesn't want you to sin. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want to sin. Secondly, little children have issues with is, and this is so important, they struggle with doctrine. And I'll show you the word of God. They are the ones that every new teaching they are chasing after. Have you seen people like that? You say, I thought you were following this pastor before. What happened? Say, no, this is the latest. This is the hottest. Have you heard? You know, they are just confused. They think they are spiritual, but they are confused. It's very sad. Listening to different people, the minute this minister will say something, opposes what the minister says, you know, they are confused. But because it looks like it will make them spiritual, they continue. Little children have issues with doctrine. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. The day we catch people who did Nollywood movies, they will hear it. Because anytime I hear Antichrist, I always think of 666. That's the next thing that comes to my mind. All right, it says, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Fly down to verse 26. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abided in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches of all things, and it is truth and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Go to verse 26. He's talking to little children, right? Because when you study, he's talking to little children. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. He doesn't tell the young men, because we'll look at young men and fathers next week. He doesn't tell the young men about those that will seduce them. Because young men know the word. Nobody can deceive a father in Christ. Are you in this place? Because he's the one proving the will of God. How can you deceive that kind of person? He knows God's will. But little children can be deceived. Why? Because they don't spend time with God's word. So every new doctrine they are taking, they don't judge. Go to Ephesians 4. Verse 14. He says, look at this. That we henceforth be no more children. I said, God doesn't want you to be a child. Tossed fro and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Characteristic of children. Tossed fro and fro. One minute they believe in speaking in tongues. Next minute they don't believe in speaking in tongues. One minute praise is the answer. Next minute actually fasting. They are just confused. They are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Reading books somebody asks them to read. And you have to be careful about the books you read. You know, at times I feel because some people want to grow, so they consume every material. But remember, with every word, there's someone who wrote it that has bias. There are people that the reason why they are angry right now with Roman's heart is because they read a book. That the person that wrote it did not like Roman's heart. That's what they are saying. And they don't know it. You see, so they listen to everything, read everything, they are confused, but they are pretending. Little children. He says that we henceforth be no more children. The time will come in your life, you say, you know what? I am complete. I am perfected in Christ. I am satisfied. I know the word of God. But how can a child say that when he does not know the word of God? If someone came and told you, turn to the book of Zechariah 17 verse 2. And you don't know the Bible. You don't know there's no chapter 17 in the book of Zechariah. Of course, you'll follow that person. Are you in this place? Yeah. At times, one is preaching. For example, now you're in church. How do you know everything I told you is not a lie? Have you thought of it before? I was quoting some scriptures. How do you know that those chapters existed? I remember when we were in school, we were doing a game. I'll never forget. That game was to quote a scripture, you know, just make it easy. Say chapter and verse and quote it. So anyone you know, just be quoting. But don't say what other people have said. So this particular brother, that was just quoting. And the way he would quote is like he knows what he was saying. John 2 verse 7, he would get it. Nobody was fact checking. So I had already come out. You know, when you have lost the game, you have time to be checking everybody. So he said one, I opened it. It did not exist. But I didn't want to expose him. So they will call me bad belle. You know anything? So how do you know that what someone is telling you is not lying? There are people that are walking on the street. Somebody in white garment came and said, psst, psst, psst. I see a star on your head. But there's something blocking your star. Follow me. Say, I've always known it. I've always known it. Christians. Now they are bathing in the river. They are visiting the bush. Christians, think about it. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They don't even know. And you know, there are some people that are Christians that have said themselves, like, I don't know Bible. I don't know. Anything you tell me, I'll agree. I don't know. No, God doesn't want you to be that way. Are you in this place? He wants you to know the word of God so much you can prove God's will for your life. You know, there are people, I hear it many times. You know, someone came and said, the reason why this is not happening is because there's a witch. There's a witch. Now pray 3 days, fast 3 days because of the witch. As though the witch is that powerful. Who is the witch? No, because I said witch, as we go, ah, witch. Jesus said, cast out devils. Are you in this place? When you know that, it doesn't matter if there's a witch next door. So there are people that cannot even rent an apartment in peace anymore. They go and do investigation first. The people just die anyhow in this compound. The people, you know, there are people like that. They tell you. The guy had 2 cars, entered the place. No more car. Ah, that's a bad house. It doesn't matter if there's a bad house. You are the light of the world. Are you in this place? He said, you have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he in the world. Praise the Lord. So little children, toss to and fro. Every wind of the thing. In fact, at times you have people that can convince themselves that sinning is okay. Let me show you. 1 John 3. Because they are kids. Anything he tells them, they agree. Someone come and tell them, are you supposed to go to church? God is in your heart. Is God not in your heart? Yes, God is in my heart. So they are not going to church anymore. Someone else come and say, no, you must go to church. I had a vision. In that vision, I saw everybody that did not go to church, they are in hell. You say, ah, I don't want to go to hell. They start going to church. You see, nothing they are doing is based on conviction from the word of God. And God doesn't want you to live that life. Why should you go to church? He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. That means when we assemble, be there. That's what God said. The children of Israel in the wilderness, God told them, always assemble. When you hear the trumpet, arrive. He tells us the same thing in the church. He says, hey, don't forsake. He uses the word forsake, meaning there are other things you can be doing, but be in church. That's why we're in church, because we see it in God's word. Not because we go to hell. Not because someone says, okay, why not in church? God is in my heart. God is in your heart, it's true. God was in Jesus. In fact, Jesus was God. He went to the synagogue, as his custom was. Jesus, God himself, was going to church. In fact, they gave him Bible to read. Some people don't know it is in Luke 4. Okay, let me show you before someone says, so we used to lie. So Luke 4, quickly, would end. Quickly. What did I say should open again? Did I say to open any other? Go to Luke 4. 1 John 3, right? All right, we'll go there, but let's quickly go to Luke 4. Let me just show you. And then we'll go to 1 John 3. Luke 4. Oh. All right. Go to verse 15. 16. And let me tell you something about Jesus that was so remarkable. The Jews had yearly feasts. They always traveled to Jerusalem. Jesus was not from Jerusalem, do you know? Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, just like Abuja is the capital of Nigeria. It was from another city, Galilee. Just like you are from River State. And in River State, you have Port Harcourt, you have Obiakor, you have all of that. So in Galilee, you had Nazareth, you had Cana, you had Capernaum, you had Bethsaida. He was from Nazareth in Galilee. That was where his ministry was located. So they called him Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you understand? But according to the law, everybody must travel to Jerusalem to keep peace. You know, Jesus always traveled from when he was small, 12 years old. That's how they lost him in the temple. To when he died in Jerusalem towards the feast. He didn't say, as God as I am, now that I'm in Nazareth, the feast have moved to Nazareth. The living world is not in Nazareth. No. He went to where the brethren were because God said that is where you should be. He was submissive. The Bible says, being found in fashion as a man, he submitted himself. He was showing us how men should live. That's why you go to church. Luke 4. Am I giving you?
Verse 16. He says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, what is custom? Habits. You know, there's something you say, this thing don't custom you. Have you heard the pidgin English as well? Every time. Your mother has slapped your hand. Your friend has slapped your hand. You're just on the road waiting for God. Why? It has accustomed you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so he had a custom. That's the point. He had a custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Some of you are coming to church. Would someone just come and say, you are new in church, go and read? Does that happen? It means they will know you. Right? You're known. So they're giving you responsibility. And his custom was he went to church. That's where you should go. Not God is in your heart. You're staying at home listening to messages. You know, the most annoying part, people like that act as though they are so spiritual. You know, I don't do church. I don't do religion. I just listen to the word and speak in tongues and the Holy Ghost power. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Absolute nonsense. And guess what? Children will be deceived by that. The people that have been going to church and stopped because they met someone like that. Ministers of unrighteousness. Teaching them how to be against the word of God. It's not from God. But children will not know because they do not study the Bible. Someone can say in the book of Obed-Edom, chapter 2, verse 5. God said, woe is anybody that goes to church. A child will agree. There's one of you right now that don't know there's no book called Obed-Edom. You don't know. I just said Obed-Edom. You said Obed-Edom. Huh. That's a new one. And as funny as it is, it can destroy your life. Let me tell you something. Life is not about cars, money you get here. It's about living the way God wants you to live. Someone can say, I've not been going to church. Did anything spoil in my life? But God is not Satan. He doesn't want to kill you. You have to remember that. If you're not doing the word of God, it doesn't mean he will kill you. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I have no pleasure that the sinner dies. Let me give you an example. Look at Balaam. That's far off. Talk about that one later on. But the point is, if nothing, you don't say, oh, I've not been going to church, but I've been prospering. So what? God wants you to prosper. Jesus said, God is good. He makes the rain to fall on the sinner and the righteous. That's how God is. There's no bias. He loves everybody. I told you guys about Ahab. Do you remember? The Bible says, of all kings in Israel, nobody was wicked like Ahab. That guy had a record. And to make it worse, the Bible says, to make it worse, he married Jezebel. Now people say, daughters of Jezebel. Ahab married the real one. He was so wicked. And then Jezebel helped him kill Naboth to take his field. The Bible says, Elijah the prophet came to meet Ahab and said, this thing that you have done, you will die, your generation, you are finished. And then the Bible says, Ahab, as wicked as he was, pray to God. Cry to God. The Bible says he could not eat because he heard he would die. You know what God said? Hey, God told Elijah, have you seen how Ahab is humble? Very humble guy. I'll not do anything to him. That's how God is. He's so good. One of the things that shocked me when I read the book of Numbers, and it will shock you too because you're reading Numbers, was upon everything the Shekinah, the children of Israel, used God's eye to see in that wilderness. Upon their disobedience. Are you in this place? When he was going to talk to Balaam, a prophet from another country, you know how he blessed Israel? He said, behold, God's people in whom there is no guile. There is no spot. I kept thinking, is this Israelites he's talking about or someone else? Because we're always provoking God. But that's how God is. He is good. So don't think because you're walking on righteousness, you have not died, means you should continue. No, change your ways. Are you in this place? Grow. Tell your neighbor, grow. 1 John 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. He says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That's why Jesus said, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6. This is beautiful. What I just saw now is beautiful. But I'll say that later. He says, whosoever abided in him sinneth not. No one I told the little children, abide in him. Remain in him. Why? Because in him there is no sin. You will not see the sin. Praise the Lord. If there's someone that is addicted to coke, Anywhere you see Coke, you buy. In your cupboard, there is Coke. In your fridge, there is Coke. In your car, there is Coke. In your bag, there is Coke. How do we get you away from Coke so you don't drink it? We put you in a place where there is no Coke. As long as you know place, you will not see Coke to drink. He's saying that, listen, abide in him. In him, there is no sin. In the world, there is no sin. If you're in the world, you will not see what to sin. Praise the Lord. He says, whosoever abide in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Now, I want you to see how he's really talking to little children. See the kind of advice he gives them. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, even as he is righteous, verse 8. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, firstly, as a grown adult, is it not common sense that somebody that does righteousness is righteous? And someone that commits sin is from the devil? But because they're little children, someone can easily deceive them. And tell them, no, this thing is okay. It's okay to do this. There's nothing wrong with it. They can be deceived. Why? Because they don't know God's word. So little children are at a risk. They can be deceived. They can be manipulated. Praise the Lord. For example, God is so against dishonor. Especially his ministers. Who did it? Reading of Numbers. If you've not been reading Numbers with us, I don't know what you've been doing. He's so against dishonor. But you have some people that will convince little children in Christ to insult ministers of God. Firstly, insulting them doesn't make you richer. Are you in this place? So physically, there's no benefit. In fact, you might get headache from too much talking. Physically, there's a disadvantage. Secondly, God doesn't want you to do it. But little children can be convinced that it's okay to do it. Praise the Lord. So when you're a child, anything can happen. You can even listen to Satan and think you're listening to God. So God wants you to grow. He wants you to know God's word for yourself. Praise the Lord. So let's start with this. How do we get little children to be grounded in the word? How? Because we've talked about little children, like your problem is too much. So, how do we get them to know God's word? What's the sure way? There's people that say, you know, I've been trying, but I realize I'm still a child. Okay, so how do we get to go? Look at Ephesians 4 verse 14. We find that this is the last chapter we'll look at. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait. So you see, two things always come up with little children, sin and deception. Either they are warning against sin, or they are warning them not to be deceived. But look at this verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children. Meaning that he was talking about something first, right? He started from somewhere. So I think if I know what he's talking about, that will make me no longer be children. If I was a child, I should do that thing. Go to verse 9. He says, now that he ascended, what is it also but that he... No, go to verse 8. I just want to show you. He says, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He's talking about Jesus when he resurrected and ascended. Praise the Lord. But when he was ascending, he knew there were still Christians in the earth and they needed to grow. So he gave gifts to Christians. All right? To help them. Go to verse 11. And he gave some apostles. There are some Christians he gave apostles. Apostles are the gifts. Are you in this place? He gave them. It's just like what God did with Judah of Israel. He separated the Levites to himself and the sons of Aaron as priests. Praise the Lord. So the priests serve the children of Israel and they serve God. So he said that when Jesus ascended, he was not going to be here physically anymore. He gave his church gifts. He sent some apostles. He gave some prophets. And some, not everybody. You know, people always shout to unity of the church. You know, talk about this. That the church is divided. There's so many denominations. They are so angry. Why are you angry? God is not angry. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. The ones that have prophets don't have apostles. Are you in this place? Different ministers. He's the one that did it. And some evangelists. And some pastors and what? Teachers. I told you guys in Revelations 2 and 3, Jesus talked to seven churches, did he not? Did he not talk to seven churches? He was so upset about division in the church. He should have said, the first thing he should have said when he talked to seven churches, why people seven? Why people seven join together there and become one? No. He did not. He didn't even address it because it's not in God's mind. He gave each church different instruction and rebuked each church. Praise the Lord. So for those of you that are still saying one body means that we must all join the Christian Association. You see the gospel here. All right. He says, and some pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So he gave some people. It's like there are five of them here. He gave these two apostles. He gave these two prophets. He gave a pastor. Each of them will be teaching them so they can perfect them. They can make them mature. They can ensure they are no longer children. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So they are learning God's word for the divine body of Christ, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. So what was God's antidote to ensure you're not a child? He gave gifts. You have a church. The church is an organization. There's a structure there. There's a structure for your growth. That's why we don't know the word of God. There are some of you, you're not learning words in numbers. Many instructions, praise the Lord. You're learning words in Job. You will not have known if you're not using the devotion. Because there's a devotion in church. So the first thing children should do is to be in a church. Put some structure into your fellowship with God. Have some structure in your life, praise the Lord. A structure into your praying. We pray 15 minutes every week. Be a part of that. Don't say, I will not pray the 15 minutes I pray in church. I used to pray 1 hour, 30 minutes. When was the last time you did that? Like last year during the retreat. You see, you're not consistent. When you're in a church, you have to be consistent. In fact, being here every Sunday is consistency. And that means you're growing, you're making progress. So it's antidote. And let me tell you something. When you're in a church and there's a teaching there, and you're committed there, you will not be confused. Because you already have the message. Are you in this place? So if they say there's a great apostle somewhere, if God gave you a pastor, remain with the pastor. And let me give you some examples in the word of God and we'll close. All right? Look at Jesus. Jesus is God. John the Baptist said he must increase and I must decrease. Are you in this place? All right. What does that mean? It means that John is saying it's better his ministry progress and my own decrease. There's no problem. Because he was God. Okay. Now, in Luke 7, Jesus raised someone from the dead. The Bible says that news went round to where John was. John was in Judea. But John was in prison. So John sent two of his disciples. I said, please go and ask that man. Is he really the Savior? Because I'm in prison, he has not saved me. Or should we look for someone else? So they go to meet Jesus. I said, John sent us to you and said, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? And then Jesus does some things and said, I'm the one, go and tell John. Now, here's what's remarkable. Jesus does not tell them, you people are still with John. Yeah, he must decrease, I must increase. Come on, be my disciple. Is that what he did? Because he knew they belonged to John. Are you in this place? He says, a man cannot receive anything except it's given him from above. Jesus said, all that I've heard and learned of the Father comes to me. So if God had not told them to go to him, he was okay. And this was God himself. Matthew 14, John is now dead. They've cut off his head. The disciples took his body. Then the Bible says they went to tell Jesus that John is dead. What should Jesus do? You no longer have minister, apostle, pastor. Come and follow me. Is that what he did? No. He went to go and mourn. But they did not let him mourn in peace. By the time he went there, he saw 5,000 people and they were hungry. And he healed them. But you see, this idea, you see, so when you're in a church, God expects you to remain there and grow. Not tricking your ear, tricking your ear. Why did you leave the church now? Because you heard something else that you were not supposed to hear. And don't say, you know, but nothing happened to me now. I told you, life isn't about bad things happening to you. God is not Satan. He loves you. It's about walking in righteousness. Praise the Lord. So one sure way for children to grow is to be in a structure. Be in a church. Hear the word of God there. Be satisfied there. Grow there. There's no reason to follow it there. Praise the Lord. Don't say, we read daily. Read it daily. I read it one, you know, at times one chapter, two chapters seems very small. Right? But do it. It's not like you're doing it that you don't do it. Say, I'll read a month. How many books is numbers? Okay, I'll read it for a month. No, you're shortchanging yourself. Go to the children of Israel, pick manna every day. He said, don't pick twice for 2 days. Pick every day. Guess what? Children of Israel do not agree. Some picked twice because they didn't want to go outside.
The second day, what happened? The manna became worms.
So every day, you're in touch with the Word of God. You're coming to church on Sunday. There's Wednesday daily devotional. How will someone like that not grow? Then the person that's going to every meeting, it's so sad. Meetings that we leave us or the unchurched. Any church pastor will tell you, it doesn't matter the conference they call, it's interdenominational, it's for the unchurched and unbelievers. You that have a church, you attend, you're marking present everywhere. Say that it was very powerful. It was very great. It was very, what are you doing? Let me tell you something Jesus did. All right. In Revelations 2, he talked to seven churches. Seven churches that had seven congregations. He did not say, but you, all of you, what I said is for you, but you that you are there, there's something else I want to tell you. There's something else. You have to travel to another church to hear it. Is that what he said? No. Praise the Lord. You see, because where he has given you, he knows best. You listen to the word of God there, you grow. You're better. Praise the Lord. So two things with children. And the antidote is remaining in a church. Let me tell you something. When you're doing everything you're supposed to do in the church, it will spill into your own personal devotion. And then days that you don't remember to do your own personal devotion, at least you do the one of the church. So at every given point, you are covered. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So children sin because they are not in the word. They don't know the word. And let me tell you something also. Sinning is not necessarily lying. Oh no. Anything that is outside God's word is a transgression. So it's not necessarily lying. For example now, someone will say, nobody can say not coming to church is a sin. Are you saying that? Nobody can say that. But God told the children that if I call for myself, nobody comes, that person should be cut off. And it's not about dying. It's just the fact that God says you should be somewhere, be there. Are you seeing it? Walk in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So children have issues with sin because they are far from God's word. They have the wrong associations. And then they are easily deceived. No, let me just break this. I've ended. There are people that are angry with their parents in the village. Why? Because someone told them the person that is doing them is their mother in the village. Have you not heard cases like that? They were walking on the street. The guy came with white garment. Now, don't know white garment. My point is, I'm just trying to be descriptive. All right? Okay, with red garment. Let's use red. And said, you, the person, your mother has tied your padlock, or whatever they used to call it, and put it in the ground. Tied your padlock. Now, the guy doesn't send anything to Christmas anymore. He thinks his mother is a witch. Who is that? Satan. It cannot be God. God doesn't give you fear. Are you in this place? Praise the Lord. Once he shows up, the bondage is broken. Do you remember Peter was in prison? And the Bible says they handcuffed his leg and his hand. The angel appeared, touched him, dragged him, the handcuffs fell down. That's an angel. So if God shows up and has a word for you, the anointing will break the yoke. He will not make you enemies. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. You see, from the word of God, I can judge that instruction. That prophecy is not from God. The Bible says the one that is spiritual and a prophet should judge. I can judge it. That cannot be from God. If your mom had devils, God forbid, what do you want? For her to be delivered. Because she's on her way to hell. Are you in this place? But you see, such message brings selfishness, anger, separation, division. And the Bible says that which is sensual is earthly and devilish. The one that causes division is devilish. It's in James 3. So it's not from God. Praise the Lord. So when you're a child, you can be deceived by things like that. Now you're angry. Now you live in fear. You're sweating. You hear, at night, you say there's a vulture. You see a vulture. You know, just a terrible life. But the Bible says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I'm growing in the word. Say, I'm growing.